ॐ श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादम् शङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। किं गङ्गाम्बुनिबिम्बितेऽम्बरमणौ चाण्डालवाटीपयः पूरे चान्तरमस्ति काञ्चनघटी मृत्कुम्भयोर्वाम्बरे प्रत्यग्वस्तुनि निस्तरङ्गसहजानन्दावबोधाम्बुधौ विप्रोऽयम् श्वपचोऽयमप्यति महान् कोऽयम् विभेदभ्रमः। जाग्रत्स्वप्नसुषुप्तिषु स्फुटतरा या संविदुजृम्भते या ब्रह्मादिपिपीलिकान्ततनुषु प्रोता जगत्साक्षिणी सैवाहम् न च दृश्यवस्त्विति दृढप्रज्ञापि यस्यास्ति चेत् चाण्डालोऽस्तु स तु द्विजोऽस्तु गुरुरित्येषा मनीषा मम। ब्रह्मैवाहमिदम् जगच्च सकलम् चिन्मात्रविस्तारितम् सर्वम् चैतदविद्यया त्रिगुणया शेषम् मया कल्पितम्। इत्थम् यस्य दृढा मतिः सुखतरे नित्ये परे निर्मले चाण्डालोऽस्तु स तु द्विजोऽस्तु गुरुरित्येषा मनीषा मम। शश्वन्नश्वरमेव विश्वमखिलम् निश्चित्य वाचा गुरोः नित्यम् ब्रह्म निरन्तरम् विमृशता निर्व्याज शान्तात्मना। भूतम् भावि च दुष्कृतम् प्रदहता संविन्मये पावके प्रारब्धाय समर्पितम् स्ववपुः इत्येषा मनीषा मम। या तिर्यं नरदेवतादिभिः इत्यन्तस्फुटा गृह्यते यद्भासा हृदयाक्षदेहविषया भान्ति स्वतोचेतनाः। ताम् भास्यैपि हितार्कमण्डलनिभाम् स्फूर्तिम् सदा भावयन् योगी निर्वृतमानसो हि गुरुः इत्येषा मनीषा मम। सो वी आर् लुकिङ्ग् एट् या तिर्यङ् नरदेवताभिः अहमिति अन्तःस्फुटा गृह्यते यद्भासा हृदयाक्षदेह विषयाः भान्ति स्वतः अचेतनाः। ताम् भास्यैः पिहितार्कमण्डलनिभाम् स्फूर्तिम् सदा भावयन् योगी निर्वृतमानसो हि गुरुः इत्येषा मनीषा मम। सो दिस् यस्टर्डे ऐ सेड् ऐ थिंक् दट् तत् इस् नाट् विजिबल् ऐ डोण्ट् नो वै डिडन्ट् सी इट्। ताम् इस् सिटिङ्ग् रैट् देर्। So Tad is there, we don't have to add anything. Tam is sitting there. So Ya, that, and what is all is connecting to? Spurtim. So Tam Spurtim Sadha Bhavayan. Yogi Nirvritamanaso Guruhu Ityesha Manisha Mama. Tam Spurtim, that Spurti. Which Spurti? या तिर्यं नरदेवताभिः अहमिति अन्तःस्फुटा गृह्यते फर्स्ट् क्लास् दट् स्फूर्ति दट् कान्शियस्नेस् सि स्फुर्धातु इस् स्फुरणे मीन्स् टु थ्राब् टु बी अलाइव् कैण्ड् आफ् यु नो हौ डु यु रेकग्नैज़् लैफ् इन् समथिङ्ग् Suppose you see a, you know, an animal which seems to be kind of towards its end, you know, like a lizard or an earthworm, sometimes struggling. How do you know it's alive? How do you conclude? You see movement. So that movement is gati. So some dhatu patha may give it as gatau also, spura gatau. But another meaning is spura spurane, which doesn't make you any wiser. Spura spurane means what? You have to understand the dhatu spura to understand the meaning of the dhatu. Therefore I'm saying it's a gati, there's a kampanam, there is a movement, a trembling, a motion. That is called spuranam. Even if you look at your own heartbeat, what do you feel? It's a throbbing, you know. That throbbing is called spuranam. Another way of understanding spuranam is that which is evident to you. What is evident is called spura. You know that sputa, that spurdhatu will come again. So then, sputa actually comes from another dhatu, which will mean to bloom. But spur means to throb, to be alive. So, spurtim is spura with ktin pratyaya, which means that bhave pratyaya ktin, that consciousness, that by which life is evident to you, that by which everything becomes evident to you, that is called spurti here. So, ya tiryang naradevatabhi aham iti antasputa grihyate. So, to the ya you add what? Ya spurtihi. Ya spurtihi tiryang nara devatabhi aham iti, in the manner, in the understanding of I, every animal, every living being has a sense of I. May not be as pronounced as a human being, but the I is very much there. So that is innately recognized, antaha, within oneself, nothing to be externalized, antaha, sputa grihyate, very clearly it's recognized. Yad bhasa, yad, what spurtihi again, you know, yad bhasa. So what will you say now? That spurti, you take it with a tritiya. Okay? So you will get yad, that's puranam again. So yad bhasa hridaya aksha deha vishayaha svataha achetanaha api bhanti. Due to the light of which the mind, the body, the senses, the karmendriyas, gyanendriyas, all of these come to light, bhanti, they shine, and also the objects, through them all of them come to shine. Even though svataha achetanaha api, even though they are themselves incapable of revealing themselves, that light, tam spurtim, now it will come, tam spurtim. What kind of spurti consciousness? Pihitarka mandala nibham, which is like the light of the sun, which is as though covered by that which the sun itself illumines. The sun illumines the clouds, and those very clouds seem to be covering the sun. So tam bhasyaihi pihitarka mandala nibham. Nibham, I told you, is like, iva. So that light, that consciousness, that spurti, which like the sun, is as though covered by those very objects it brings to light, it illumines, that spurtim, sada bhavayan, hu yogi nirvrita manasaha. A yogi, a nirvrita manasa, we'll go into the compound, a nirvrita manasa, sada bhavayan, always being alert to, always being alive to, awake to, that spurti, that person, guruhu ityesha manisha mama, he is indeed my guru. Whether he is a chandala or he is a dvija, it makes no difference, he is my guru. Okay, so is the anvaya clear now, how it works out? Not I said tam is there already. I didn't see that yesterday somehow. Therefore, I said we had to supply. Tam is sitting right there. Okay. So, and yesterday I was trying to remember a verse in Ishavasya. So, I just thought I will share that with you now. So, in Ishavasya, there is a verse which says, హిరణ్మయేన పాత్రేణ సత్యస్యాపిహితం ముఖం. హిరణ్మయేన పాత్రేణ అడ్రస్ సన్ ఇన్ అవే బై దట్ షైనింగ్ ఆర్బ్ సత్యస్య దట్ ద ట్రూత్ ద రియల్ రియాలిటీ బిహైండ్ ఇట్ ఇస్ హిడన్. హిరణ్మయేన పాత్రేణ సత్యస్య, అగైన్ యూ కెన్ సీ ద వర్డ్ హియర్ ఇస్ అపిహితం ముఖం. హియర్ వి సా వాట్ పిహితం, సేమ్ మీనింగ్. ఓకే, అపిహితం ముఖం, ఇట్ ఇస్ కవర్డ్ బై వాట్? బై దట్ గ్లిటర్. The rays are so strong that you only see the rays, you cannot see what's behind the rays of light. They are too strong. Therefore the prayer is tattvam pushan apavrunu satya dharmaya drishtaye. And then he says samuha tejah pushan ekarshe yama surya prajapatya vyuharashmin సమూహ తేజో యత్తే రూపం కళ్యాణతమం తత్తే పశ్యామి. యు హ్యావ్ దిస్ బ్రిలియంట్ రేస్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ షైనింగ్ విచ్ ప్రివెంట్ మీ ఫ్రమ్ యూ లుకింగ్ ఎట్ యూ డైరెక్ట్లీ. వెన్ కెన్ ఐ లుక్ ఎట్ ద సన్? ఎర్లీ మార్నింగ్, లేట్ ఈవినింగ్. దెన్ ఐ క్యాన్ సీ వాట్స్ బిహైండ్ ద రేస్, దట్ వెరీ వండర్ఫుల్ ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ద సూర్య భగవాన్. సో హీ సేస్ హియర్ ద ప్రేయర్ ఇస్ హే పూషన్, వాట్ షుడ్ యూ డూ? Vyuharashmin, you withdraw unto yourself your brilliant rays. Why? So that tatte rupam, your form, what form? Kalyanatamam, which is very very benevolent, which is wonderful. May I see that? Why do I not see it normally? Because your rays are too bright, they take my attention, I'm not able to look beyond them. Different ways of saying it. This is exactly what is also conveyed by Paranchikhani, that the eyes are turned outside. Why? Because there are objects which attract our attention, and those objects take all our mind, they grab our attention completely. We can't see anything beyond that. That idea you should understand, that is why pihitam. It is not really pihitam. The cloud cannot cover the sun, but yet amazingly it seems to cover the sun in our perception. In the same way, when I recognize that whatever I take is covering, or whatever I take is taking me away from this, when that itself is recognized as nothing but Ishvara alone, there is no way you can go away from it. You know, that going away is possible because I really don't understand what is Ishvara. I don't understand what is myself. Therefore, the second thing to be seen. When a second thing is not recognized, there is no issue at all. So that the impediment to it is recognized as all the things outside, which are, you know, aksha, hridaya, deha, vishayaha. All of these are things where my attention goes. And when one can see them all for what they really are, then my attention has nowhere else to go except stay with me. And that is the meaning even in the Ishavasya. So now the last line is yogi nirvrata manaso hi guruhu. And what about this yogi? Yogi nirvrata manasaha sada tam spurtim bhavayan. Okay, this person, what is he doing? Yogi, who is a yogi? Yogaha syasti iti yogi. What is yogaha? Yogaha, you can bring in now. The word yoga in Vedanta in general has the meaning of that which gives you adhikara, that qualification. So karma yoga, though we talk of karma yoga and jnana yoga, karma yoga makes you an adhikari. Right? And jnana yoga is what? A lifestyle which connects you to that one reality very clearly. But again, their jnanam is a means. Yoga really means yujyate anena iti yogaha. That by which one gets connected to something is called yoga. And our interest in this whole culture is only one connection. We are not interested in any other connection. The only connection we want is to Ishvara, the real connection. So that connection, I am saying, requires two things. It requires a preparedness, and then when the mind is prepared, it takes an understanding. So first, it is gaining the preparedness. That is what typically is called yoga. Okay? But in the context of Gita, when we talk of Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga, when you have two words, then you have to understand the Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga are lifestyles. Right? But there also what we say, Karma Eva Yoga, Karma Yoga, Jnana Eva Yoga, Jnana Yoga. It becomes the very means. The very means for gaining what we want, the very means by which we get connected to what we want is yoga. So that here is being said as yogi, the one who has this preparedness. So I'm saying with this one word, yogi, we can stay on this and bring in all the things with adhikarityam. You know, karma yoga can be brought in. Amanityam, Madambhityam, Ahimsa, Akshantihi, Arjavam, Acharyopasanam. All those can be pulled in. Attitudes. Attitudes, understanding, everything can be pulled in by that one word, yogi. So, that's what I meant when I said we can, each of these words can be taken independently and you can look at the entire meaning of Vedanta in them. So, yogi, what happens to this fellow? Yogi sadabhavayan. This yogi, not another fellow. Another fellow cannot be alert to this reality. A person who does not have the sensitivity, who has not grown enough to become qualified, cannot really dwell on this one reality which is as though hidden by all the objects that we objectify. As though hidden. So therefore, you have to take it as yogi bhavayan. What does he become? Become means he discovers what? Nirvrita manasaha. Nirvrita manasaha. Vrit means to be vartate, but nir plus vrit has a meaning of to be happy, to be pleased, to be satisfied, to be accomplished. All these meanings you can bring. Nirvrit. Be very cautious. Nivrit and nirvrit are entirely different things, okay? Nivartanam is turning away. Nirvrit is to be happy, to be glad, to be accomplished. So, sometimes there is a possibility of a confusion between nirvrit and nivrit. Let that confusion not enter your head. Be alert to it. Okay? So here it is, nirvrita manasaha. Okay? So not one free from mind, but one whose mind is pleased, one whose mind is calm, is relaxed. Therefore this word nirvrita is taken as moksha. Okay? Now I can look at this nirvrita manasaha. See, yogi nirvrita manasaha. So what is accomplished here? If I take it with that, see, I have to take the two words together. Nirvrita is not independent. Nirvrita manasaha. So I'm saying if I take it as a compound, it is one nirvritaha manaha yasya saha. Will become nirvrita manas. And I think nirvrita manas eva nirvrita manasaha. Manas eva manasaha. I'll have to bring it that way. Then you will get nirvrita manasaha. So one by whom you can now look at it as saying, who is a yogi? Who is a yogi? First I told you nirvrita normally means being happy. Now I'm taking it in a slightly different shade. Okay? Yogi means what? As I said, yoga asya asti iti yogi. One who has, who is qualified. One who has that mind, that objective mind, that mind which is relatively calm, by which we can understand what is being taught in Vedanta Shastra. Now, what is manasaha? Mind. Nirvrita manasaha means what? One who has accomplished his mind. One who has a mind which is ready. So I can connect nirvrita manasaha to yogi. Okay? Give me one second. So now that is one way of looking at it. By connecting it purely yogi. Now one of the Tigakara here says, nirvritaha muktaha anandino jataha ityarthaha. No, I'm sorry. One second. Okay. I'm reading another verse. I could be messing it up. యా నివృత మానస మోక్ష సుఖయుక్త మానస సారీ రివైండ్ ఐమ్ సేయింగ్ నివృత మానస టీకాకార హియర్ సేస్ మోక్ష సుఖయుక్త మానస బికాస్ నివృత ఇస్ టేక్ నివృతి ఇస్ టేకన్ యాజ్ దట్ ఆనంద దట్ హ్యాపీనెస్ సో వన్ బై హూమ్ వన్ హూస్ మైండ్ ఇస్ ఫిల్డ్ is pervaded by the freedom of moksha. That sukha which is nothing but moksha. That absolute freedom. One in whose mind that absolute freedom is very clearly apparent to himself. That person is being called what? Nirvrita manasaha. Okay? Now, yoga, as I told you, is connection. Okay? So, I began with saying you take yogi nirvrita manasaha as yogi is a person who is anadhikari. Okay? There I took nirvrita manasa as what? One by whom a mind which is objective, which is prepared, which is emotionally mature has been accomplished. Okay? Now repeat the same two words one more time. You see where I'm trying to go? I'm trying to make you see that how those two words can be seen in a different light. Both meanings are valid. Now this Tikakara is saying what? Yogi. Now yogi is not a person who is prepared. Yogi is a person who is already achieved. He is already connected. Yogahasti asti. He is connected to the Brahma Vastu. Then what will be his state of mind? One whose mind is replete with that limitless joy, recognizing the fact that he is limitless. It is not an experience. It is recognition of the fact that I am free, irrespective of situation. That total freedom, one who has. So I'm saying two words, I'm trying to show you that within those two words, I can bring in both the adhikari and the jnani. Both can walk in. One becomes the means and one becomes the end. Okay? Yogi nirvrita manasaha. And what about him? Saha guruhu. The one who has accomplished this. Not the one who has become a yogi as an adhikari. He cannot be my guru. Okay? The one who has accomplished this knowledge completely. Nirvrita manasaha. That's why I'm saying here, moksha sukha yukta manasaha. He has the meaning of prasiddham. Very well known. It's clear. It's well known to whom? To the people in this shastra. So, to the sampradaya. Prasiddham yaha saha guruhu ityadi spashtam. Tikakara says it's all clear. There's nothing to be said about it. So, yogi nirvrita manaso hi guruhu iti esha manisha mama. This is my conviction. This is my clear understanding. I have no doubt about it. So, what does it show to us now? The one who recognizes, this words you can see as emphasizing the chit aspect. So, because it starts by saying, sputa. How? Aham iti antasputa grihyate. Aham iti. Aham, aham, aham. What is that? If I ask you between sat, chit and ananda, where would you place this aham, aham, aham? Where? Is in sat? Is in chit? Is in ananda? It's all three. But I'm saying, where would your mind gravitate towards? Chit aspect. Not only because it's aham, and then what? It is yadbhasa hridayaksha deha vishayaha bhanti. That shining, that illumination comes with chit aspect. So the light of which, light means chit walks in. Sat doesn't walk in with light. Ananda doesn't walk in with light. Chit walks in. So yadbhasa hridayaksha deha vishayaha bhanti. Swataha achetanaha. They themselves are not having the light, which means what is it that causes something to illumine which have no light? It has to be of the nature of illumination. That chit swarupaha. Spurtihi becomes chit swarupaha. Then again, tam bhasyaihi. Every object is being seen as illumined. When we see sat, we will see what? karana karya. We will see a karya which depends on karana. But here what are we saying? We are not looking at that aspect at all. We are looking at the fact that there is something which is illumined and something which as though illumines. Why as though illumines? Because if you ask, why are you illumining this? I am not illumining it. Swabhavena, just by being the very the conscious presence, everything gets illumined. Therefore I say as though illumined. So this verse, I'm saying, you can see, is highlighting the chit aspect of the whole thing. And the chit aspect can never be hidden, because for you to recognize something as hidden or something as evident, that chit alone makes you have that vritti as hidden or not hidden. That is the meaning of that bhasya seems to hide what cannot be hidden. Because whatever hides it, if for you to say it's hidden or it's not understood, you have to have vritti. You just have to ask, how did that vritti come to light? And you land on yourself. You cannot land anywhere else. That's the beauty of this verse. And you can also see that this verse, if you can look at it, we have not done Kenopanishad yet, but to me, this verse can be used to bring the entire Kenopanishad. Because the Kenopanishad starts with saying, Keneshitam Patati Preshitam Manaha. You know, by directed by whom does the mind fall on object, on an object? And further it goes on and answers it as what? Shrotrasya Shrotram Manaso Manoyat Vacho Havacham Sau Pranasya Pranaha. It is the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear, the mind of the mind. Means what? Very reality of all them. Yadbhasa Hridayaksha Deha Vishayaha. The eyes are seen and become eyes because of which? Is because of which conscious light. That same idea. And Kenopanishad also stays away from the normal prakriya in other Upanishads. You will not see a karyakarana prakriya clearly in Kenopanishad. It's not sputam. You will see the chit aspect is emphasized all the way. So Pooja Swami used to say that this is an Upanishad which is very clean. No kachapacha. Because it does not require, there is no Hiranyagarbha, Virat. All these things which tend to confuse are not mentioned. He just goes straight. What is it, you know, which causes this mind to move, etc.? And the answer is, it is the mind of the mind, the ear of the eye, the eye of the eye. And mind you, it's only one thing. So the eye of the eye is the ear of the ear. So you cannot look at any one function and go with that, because you have to make them one. So you will say what? All indriyas are handled by the mind. But then he will say what? Mind of the mind. So whenever you see this shashti talking about itself, like shrotrasya shrotram manaso manaha, this is the way Shruti presents the truth. Because to say, I want to know what is the truth of paper, you will say, it is the paperness of the paper is the truth. You know, that which makes paper is the truth. It doesn't make you any wiser easily. But this is the phrase which you will see in the Shruti everywhere, that tasya tat, that kind of a phrase is used to show that ultimate reality beyond which you cannot go. Because you can keep going step by step from karya to karana, karana to its karana, karana to its karana, but ultimately you will have to stop at one point. Similarly, if you go with the chit chain, how do you know a book? How do you know? I see it. How do you know the eyes see? You have to go to the mind. How do you know the mind is? You have to go to Atma. Finally, you will end up in Atma, whether you take the sat chain or the chit train, you know. Either way, you should end up at one point. So here it is taking the chit aspect and going. Okay? Okay. So the next words we will look at. This is going to go with Ananda. Or at least that is how I would like to present it to you. You can chant after me. Yat saukhyam buddhi.
Yat saukhyam buddhi.
Lesha leshataha.
Ime
శక్రాదయః నివృతాః యచ్చిత్తే నితరాం ప్రశాంతకలనే లబ్ధ్వా మునిర్నివృతః యస్మిన్ నిత్యసుఖాంబుధౌ గలితధీహి బ్రహ్మైవ న బ్రహ్మవిత్ యః కశ్చిత్ స సురేంద్రవందిత పదో నూనం మనీషా మమ. సునౌ యత్ సౌఖ్యాంబుధి లేశ లేశతః ఇమే శక్రాదయః నివృతాః. శక్రాదయః నివృతాః. నౌ నివృత ఇస్ వాట్ ఇన్ దిస్ వర్స్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ఆల్ ఆనంద. ఓకే, దేర్ ఇస్ నో బిజినెస్ ఆఫ్ యోగా హియర్, ప్యూర్లీ ఆనంద. సో యత్ సౌఖ్యాంబుధి లేశ లేశతః, లేశ మీన్స్ ఎ బిట్. ఓకే, లేశ లేశ ద బిట్ ఆఫ్ అ బిట్, ద బిట్ ఆఫ్ అ బిట్. లేశ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇస్ అ బిట్. ఓకే, యు హ్యావ్ వన్ బిట్ అండ్ ఫ్రమ్ దట్ బిట్ ఇట్ రియలీ మీన్స్ వెరీ వెరీ టైనీ ఫ్రాక్షన్. ఫ్రమ్ అ టైనీ ఫ్రాక్షన్ అండ్ ఫ్రమ్ దట్ యు టేక్ అనదర్ టైనీ ఫ్రాక్షన్. ఓకే, వై డూ హ్యావ్ టు టేక్ అ టైనీ ఫ్రాక్షన్ ఆఫ్ సౌఖ్యాంబుధి? సౌఖ్యాంబుధి మీన్స్ సౌఖ్యః ఏవ అంబుధిః, ఆర్ ఐ కెన్ లుక్ అట్ ఇట్ అస్ సౌఖ్యః అంబుధిః ఇవ, బెటర్ సౌఖ్యః అంబుధిః ఇవ. వాట్ ఇస్ అంబుధి? సమ్ సంస్కృత్ హస్ టు కమ్ ఇన్, యు నో. అంబుధి, అంబు మీన్స్ వాటర్. ఓకే, ది is coming from dhatu dha with a adhikarana vyutpatti. So that in which the waters are placed is called ambudhi, which means the ocean. So what is this ocean? There is no ocean. Saukhyam iva saukhyam ambudhi iva. Saukhyam means what? Sukham eva saukhyam. Normally we would say sukhasya bhavaha, but this is swarthe and not in the sense of tasya bhavaha. So it means what? Sukham is saukhyam. There's no difference in the meaning. That comfort, that ease with which I live is sukham. The swarupa sukha is being talked about. So yat saukhyam budhi lesha lesha taha, taha is tasil. ఓకే, సౌఖ్యమేవ సౌఖ్యం అంబుదిహివ, ది కంఫర్ట్ దట్ సుఖం దట్ ఐ ఎంజాయ్ ఇస్ లైక్ ఎన్ ఓషన్, విచ్ మీన్స్ మై సుఖ ఇస్ లిమిట్లెస్. ఇన్ వాట్ వే ఇట్ లిమిట్లెస్? ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ లిమిటెడ్ బై ఎ గివన్ టైమ్, విచ్ మీన్స్ దట్ సౌఖ్యం ఇస్ మైన్ ఆల్ టైమ్స్, ఎట్ ఆల్ టైమ్స్. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ లిమిటెడ్ బై స్పేస్, which means it is not that sukham depends on my being in Rishikesh or my being in Coimbatore, but it is independent of my location, not in home, not outside home, wherever. And third one is what? Vastu paricheda, which means it does not depend upon my association with a given situation. So the sukha which does not depend on place, location, does not depend on time, and which does not have any bearing upon the situation I find myself in, that sukha means. What does it mean? If you remove these three, you have to see the implication. What does it mean? That sukha does not depend on anything other than me. That's the implication. Therefore, if nothing can limit it, what should you call it? Limitless. See the word limitless. It is not something where you are trying to imagine something huge. I can't see the limits, like the ocean. You can't see the limits, true, of the ocean. But then you know there is land somewhere. In a way, it does get limited. Right? Suppose you are very close to the beach, or you are sailing a ship towards the port, you would see land. The sea is not entering the land all the way, therefore you can say it's limited. So the examples always are looking away from the land, where you see no shore, nothing which limits it. That's the limitlessness. But I'm saying that is because we know there's a possibility of limitation, and I'm not recognizing anything that limits the ocean. But here, how is it limitless, the sukha? The only things that can limit are what? Desha, kala and vastu paricheda. There is no other limitation. Think about it. It should not be, okay, I have written down, there are three types of paricheda. Desha, kala, vastu. You ask me an exam, I will answer all of them. No. Have to see, is there anything else that limits me? Limits me means what? What does limitation mean? Do you feel you can be improved upon? Means there is a limitation. Because you haven't yet reached your full potential. Do you feel that, you know, when I say improved upon, I can be better, I can be happier, I can be more at ease. If that feeling is there, that means I am limited in some way. It can be very subtle, it can be more gross. And that it is not an acknowledgement that, you know, I can't win all the time, therefore whatever I have, I'm happy with that. That's pragmatism, which is wonderful. But still, if I ask you, you assume you have full command over all resources. You assume you can change your body, mind, you can do anything you want to do. You have total control. You can call all the shots. With that kind of an assumption, you tell me, do you feel you need nothing more? Or do you feel something can be improved? If you feel something can be improved, recognize that there is a limitation centered on myself. Because I can be happier. I can be improved upon. Until that is there, what will I do? I cannot but try to improve my happiness. I cannot but try. And if I give up, it is given up because I have wrongly concluded that it cannot be done. Because this is where the buddhi comes in. If you conclude it cannot be done, it's not possible, okay? I wish I were Bill Gates. I should have owned an island of my own. I should have jets flying, taking me wherever I want. And I should be able to give a lot of money to good causes. That's why I want to be Bill Gates. But I can't be. It's too late in this life to be Bill Gates. So I can only say pray and make me Bill Gates next life, if I want to be. Okay? So I'm saying, why I have made peace with it. I'm no longer crying every day, I'm not Bill Gates, okay? Why do I not cry? Because I have concluded it is not possible. That conclusion itself means that I'm settling for less than I can. The conclusion that I cannot make it in this life, the conclusion that I cannot be what I want to be, I have to accept my lot. Objectivity, yes. But not totally objective. The total objectivity is, no, none of them have any bearing on me. I am free. I am limitless here and now. That is the understanding of the limitless. It is not centered on anything outside. I am free being myself. So that is why we saw in the Gita what? Atma. Atmanyevacha santushtaha tasya karyam na vidyate. What's the verse before that? Yastu atma. Thank you. Yastu atma ratirevasyat atmatriptascha manavaha atmanyevacha santushtaha tasya karyam na vidyate. The one who is comfortable being himself, and those three words, rati, santushti and tushti are shown to tell you, we are not in any way denying your experience of degrees of happiness. But we are not aiming for that highest degree of happiness. Because if you are aiming for a degree of happiness, it is something to be gained. and they can always be a better degree of happiness. Therefore, understand that those words are only meant to show that any number of degrees of happiness is not what we are interested in. We are talking about the swarupa of all those sukhas, which is what we are talking about here. That nitya yasmin, yat saukhyam buddhi lesha leshataha. So if all the sukha, the entire ocean of sukha is here, what is the source of water on the earth? If you were to go in a gross way, not into details. The main source of water is the oceans. From there alone, the water evaporates and comes down as fresh water. Correct? That's why we say, Akashat patitam toyam sagaram pratigachati. All water bodies, if you look at it in a imaginative way, in a poetic way, every river is trying to do what? Go towards the ocean. Large lakes go towards the ocean. Why? Because they don't like to be separated from their source. This is our nature too. We are always trying to go back to our source. In every moment we are seeking happiness, we are really trying to go back to our own swabhava. So that ocean is the only source of all water. Right? So if you want any water, it comes from the ocean. So if this sukham buddhi is there, if this limitlessness, which is my nature, presented as what is the expression of limitlessness in our life? The moments of happiness that we enjoy is the expression of this ananda. That is why the word ananda is used by the Shruti. Because in that moment of joy, however little that joy may be, or however huge that joy may be to you, significant to you, one thing common to all of them is that at that moment, is there even a vritti? You think about it. You want nothing to be different at that moment. Everything in the universe can be as it is, and you have a hearty laugh or you smile. Nothing needs to be different. Therefore, that ananda is the very nature. All that happened is that which obstructed that ananda has been suspended, or have gone away for the moment of time. Therefore, he says, yat saukhyam buddhi lesha leshataha. See, Indradi. What is Indra, etc.? Shakradaya. Shakra is Indra. Shakra is another word for Indra. Shakradayaha means Indradayaha. What is Indradayaha? Devataha. What do we normally say about them? Again, we know this only from Shastra. What is the difference between a Devata and us in general? What is the difference between an animal, a plant, a human being, and a Devata? In terms of sukha dukkha, in terms of punya papa, what brings about the body? A pashu is considered to be a body which is born with a lot of papa. Okay? There is very little freedom. There is no free will. It's programmed. Then comes manushya. What about him? He is mishraji. He's got a mixture of punya and papa. Therefore, he has some pleasant moments. He has some unpleasant moments. But what about devatas? We say that they have only bhoga. They are bhogayatana, typically. Okay? Exceptions are there again. Otherwise, you will say, keno upanishad, how did they get jnanam? So we have to accept there are exceptions. But in general, they are supposed to be predominantly punya phala. Lot of punya if you have, you become a devata. Who are Indradi, Shakradi? They are all devatas. Now he says, Shakradayaha Nirvritaha. These Shakradayaha who are pleased with themselves. Where did they come out from? They came from Yat Saukhyam Buddhi Lesha Leshataha Ime. You take this huge ocean, limitless ocean of Sukham. From that you take one tiny fraction. From that you take one tinier fraction. From that tiny fraction is Indra Sukha. So that Sukha which we say is so exalted, Indra, he is the lord of all devatas. His Sukha is an insignificant fraction of this limitless sukha. So to show this is, you can see the Ananda Mimamsa happening here. In Taittiriya we will see. We will start with Manushyananda and go through so many steps to arrive at Brahmananda. This Saukhyambudhi is Brahmananda. And Indradayaha is Devananda, Indrananda. You can go up that far. So that Ananda is just an insignificant part. Insignificant is really a word to make us see the way we normally look at things. Really what we are trying to say is what? One is Satyam, one is Mithya. The Indradi Sukha really is less obstructed by the Mithya Upadhi of Indra Sharira. So it's only trying to show that. Don't imagine that there will be one Ananda which is going to be better even than Indra's Ananda. That experience we are not hunting after. We recognize the fact that I am the meaning of the word Sukha. That's being said. We'll look at it more in the next week. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.